This lesson is from the course Fullness of Joy, A Biblical Theology of God with Us by Dr. Daniel Ragusa.
The coming of the Son of God in the fullness of time took the gospel story of God with us, Emmanuel, out of the shadows and into the light. The substance itself had come in the very Son of God who came for us and for our salvation. In him, history moved from what was good yet provisional to what is now better and permanent. The shadows of the altars and tabernacles and temples has now transitioned to the substance which is Christ. Christ, the true temple and the great high priest of heaven. And it's he who experiences in himself today the fullness of joy in the presence of God that he begins to share with us as his people. And as our heavenly high priest, his earthly ministry continues now by the Spirit whom he poured out, the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost. And when we look at the event of Pentecost as a once-for-all event in redemptive history, we see how it had been anticipated all along. Remember how the glory of the Lord had led Israel out of Egypt in the cloud, and how that very glory cloud of God had filled the tabernacle with the presence of God. It landed upon Mount Sinai, and it also entered into the temple, where it also transformed the building into the very house of God. All of that looked forward to the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." God comes in the person of the Holy Spirit to now indwell the people of God so that they would be a house of God's, where God's presence would dwell. That the church then, made up of these disciples who have trusted in Jesus Christ, would themselves be transformed in Christ into the true temple of God. The Apostle Peter writes of this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, "As you come to him, Jesus Christ, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, the place where God would dwell in his church." That is what Pentecost brought about. The Apostle Paul also asks the Corinthian church, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" You see, in the same way the coming of the glory of God into the tabernacle made it into the residence of God, and the coming of the glory of God into the temple made it into the residence of God, so too the coming of the glory of God by the Holy Spirit indwelling his church has made the church into the dwelling place of God here on earth. Where God's people are, there God is with them. It's why Jesus, before he ascends, tells his disciples, after commissioning them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus with them in the power of his Spirit, indwelling his church, so that the church has now been empowered to be the dwelling place of God here on earth in union with Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of this living spiritual house. And it's therefore within the church, is therefore within the people of God as the house of God, that we begin already to experience something of the joy of God's presence. "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And as the church has today already been raised with Christ, we already experience within ourselves the beginnings of eternal joy in our hearts as we await our bodily resurrection and the regeneration of the world in a new heavens and a new earth. Our present existence today as the church is wholly dependent upon Jesus Christ and who He is and His Spirit who indwells within us and works in us already, in part, the joy that is to be ours in fullness when Christ comes again. And as those who have been empowered and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we are then called today to go forth and to make disciples of all nations. You see, Pentecost also ties into that ancient event, namely the Tower of Babel. Remember when there was a people in defiance and rebellion against God, had been building a tower to reach the heavens, to contest God and His glory and His power. And God came down and judged that people by confusing their tongues so that they could not understand one another and therefore they were spread out. Now God did that so that within that context He might work His redemption. He might preserve humanity from destroying itself further and going further into rebellion. But now we find at Pentecost the reversal of Babel. Whereas at Babel, God confused their tongues so nobody understood what anybody else was saying. Here at Pentecost, God now causes His people to speak in the various tongues of the nations that had been gathered there in Jerusalem at that time. And it's there that God now begins to show that the promise given to Abraham, in you all the nations shall be blessed, that they shall be able to say with the people of God, God is with us. That the nations could hold fast to the promise that God is our God and we are His people. That is now what is going forth throughout the world because of the events of Pentecost. Now people from all nations are being gathered together and built up in Christ by His Spirit as a spiritual house, as a temple. So that now the Word of God and the Spirit and His Spirit go forth through His church, and they are building this temple of God, this spiritual house for God. And therefore, what we also begin to see as all of these threads from the Old Testament begin to find their fulfillment, we see also that the original mandate that had been given to Adam, remember, be fruitful and multiply, fill the whole earth and subdue it, and exercise dominion over it. That creation mandate that had been given and Adam had forfeited and failed to bring about, we see Jesus now fulfilling through His church, through the Great Commission. The Apostle Paul reflects on this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. He tells us there that the gospel had come to them, to the church in Colossae, and how the gospel had begun to multiply and bear fruit in their lives. He says this in Colossians 1 verse 3, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." The Apostle Paul, by telling us that the gospel coming to them and the whole world is causing fruit to be born and to increase, is intentionally bringing to mind that creation mandate. So that as the church fulfills its great commission in going forth, it is fulfilling also that creation mandate. And as the nations are brought in, and as people are brought in from every tongue, tribe, and nation into the church of God, the glory of God spreads, and the glory of God extends throughout the world today. And therefore, Pentecost, with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, is what causes the church to go and to proclaim that good news during this age, and to do so as faithful witnesses, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of wilderness, even in the midst of difficulty and hardship, the gospel goes forth. And it's even through such hardship and it's through such suffering that the gospel then bears fruit. As one early church father said, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Where God's church is persecuted, where it seems weak and underappreciated, it's there that the power of God is on display and the church is built and grows into the spiritual house of God. This also tells us then that our focus as a church is on the glory of God and the praise of God, that He is in the midst of us, and therefore we offer up to Him our whole lives as a living sacrifice. In Jesus, we share in His anointing as prophets, priests, and kings. As prophets, we are called then to go forth into the world confessing His name and honoring His name wherever we may go, that God's name would be confessed by us as His people. As priests, that we would offer up our whole lives as a living sacrifice unto Him, that in everything we do, we would be devoted to Him, and all that we are and all that we possess would be done for His glory, so that whether we eat or whether we drink, we do it all to the glory of Jesus' name. And we are kings in Christ, as those who are therefore called to fight against our sin in this life. As the temple of God, we ought not to allow such sins to linger within our midst, but taking up the sword of the Spirit, putting such sins to death, and fighting for holiness out of gratitude and for the glory of God in our midst. In Jesus, we share in His anointing as prophets, priests, and kings, as we go forth as for His glory into the world. And so, as God had made Adam in the beginning to function in the same way, to know His God, to love His God with all of his heart, soul, strength, and mind, to live with His God in eternal happiness for His praise and glory, so Jesus restores us to our destiny, and He brings us higher and farther to who God has intended for us to be as His image bearers, and those whom He brings into His family, and those whom He brings in as His children to dwell in His house forever and ever. And so therefore we go forth glorifying God, and we go forth fulfilling the mission that He has given to us as we look forward to the day that Jesus Christ returns. And though today living for Jesus and His cause may bring ridicule and it may bring hardship and persecution, it is on that day that Jesus Himself, our Lord, our King, our God, our Savior, will confess our names. And it's then that it will be vindicated before the eyes of the world that the cause of the church and what we have lived for and may have died for was the very cause of the Son of God. There is no higher cause today. There is no higher purpose today than to be part of the church of Jesus Christ and to go forth in His power, sharing in His anointing, bringing Him glory throughout the entire world until He comes again and He ushers us into the light of eternity and brings us into a new heavens and a new earth, wiping away every tear from our eyes and giving us Himself an eternal fellowship of life forever and ever.
Thank you for listening to this lesson from Reformed Academy. We trust it has been a blessing to you, and we encourage you to use this course in your church or otherwise share it with others who may benefit from this teaching. At Reformed Forum, we are committed to providing redemptive, historical, biblical, and theological education freely to people around the world. All of our courses are available online at reformedforum.org, many with Spanish and Chinese subtitles, all entirely for free. If you would like to support our mission and help us continue offering these valuable resources, please visit reformedforum.org/donate. With your partnership, more people can access sound, Reformed teaching, and together, by God's grace, we can equip the next generation of church leaders for faithful service.